Oftentimes, we find ourselves wandering among the tall trees, standing separate and apart in their wooded splendor. But Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill writes, if you look below the surface, you become aware of a connectiveness not seen above.
Peter Wohlleben's intriguing book, The Hidden Life of Trees, What They Feel, How They Communicate, Discoveries from a Secret World, tells how trees actually practice a communal form of life. Trees nurture one another using their root systems. They employ certain fungi to shunt nutrients to the roots of nearby trees that lack adequate nutrition. Metaphorically speaking, trees share the abundance of what they have with others who have less. They do it quietly and unobtrusively. You'd never know. Total independence in nature is really a fiction. The whole universe is an entire system of interdependence. It's a community. In a discussion recently with a group of elders, we explored the role that relationships play in our own lives. We'd reviewed a TED Talk in which the presenter spoke of a study of men begun in 1938 and continuing until recently, others until their death. The in-depth study tracked their lives, how they had lived, and what seemed to make the greatest difference in the course of their lives. This included health, professional involvements, family life, achievements, fame, or social interactions. The data was clear that above wealth, fame, power, and even good health, it was the quality of the relationships that the majority of men said was the most important element in achieving happiness. These men came to think of relationships as the most significant aspect of their lives, and that they contributed to their longevity. My inclination has been to think of men as more oriented to success, wealth, status, and achievements, however individuals understand those things, rather than the quality of their relationships. In my own family of origin, although I had no convictions one way or the other, I recall that the women were clearly the architects of our social lives and the men seeming comfortable with that arrangement. The women appeared to me to be more interested in one another, how the children fared, their health issues, interpersonal stresses, personal issues, than I recall the men being. Men talked about politics, stocks and bonds, and in those days how Roosevelt was ruining the country, as were the farm subsidies. For men, the conversations were more circumstantial than intimate. Where opportunities for satisfying relationships may vary by circumstances, what is becoming clear in our human condition is how very much we need one another. For many, that sometimes can be a frightening thought, enough to inspire distancing maneuvers. The tools such people use to build the longed-for relationships are often the ones that do little to affect one. Exercising power, relying on status, wealth, success, and physical charm. I remember fondly the trees of my youth, the ones that were my companions on summer days when it was hot and we'd have to be at home because there were few cars then and nobody available to take us to the beach. I sat under one of the two sycamore trees along the side of our house, watching clouds morph. I would never have guessed that trees were a community themselves. What's so deceptive is that trees stand tall and they look self-sufficient. They don't appear to need anything other than a place to grow. And maybe that's the piece that's missing in our own worldview today. We may look strong, but deep inside we want desperately to belong to a community that will nurture and enable us to grow safely. George Merrill on the Shore.